Is there a favorite one or two that you'd direct me to?
I could direct you probably to four or five. I have been asked the question many times, what was the most important thing your dad said to you in the letter? And I really had to reflect on that a lot, because there are so many good messages in this book that he is imparting to me. But it was in the first letter, the line when he said to me, "Remember, I will always believe in you no matter what." That was just such unconditional love. And then he went on and said some other good things. I was intrigued that Coach Mike Krzyzewski, in his eloquent forward to the book, really zoned in on that too, in his own words.
I think that what anybody could draw from this book, whether you may be a marginal football fan or not, is the nurturing that your father did. It wouldn't have made any difference if you were playing football or not. If you'd been at a military academy or wherever, he would have been sending these letters. It had nothing to do with football. It was that you were his son. And so all fathers can take something from this to say, well, that's a great role model on how much he nurtured and how much he expressed his love for you.
Well, I totally agree with you. It's interesting that I am playing football at Duke during 4 of the 6 years, and he's still coaching at Oklahoma during 4 of the 6 years. But you're absolutely correct. It's not a book about football. It's much more about a parent-child relationship and imparting very positive messages of encouragement that make a huge difference in a person's self-esteem and confidence.
It'd be interesting to know how long it'd take him to write a letter, because he was a very busy person. And writing today, in 2012, a letter is unheard of, almost.
Well, it is. That's very true. And many of these letters are on airplanes when he's traveling to Coach of the Year clinics, this, that, whatever. But I, again, agree. I think it's remarkable that he would take the time. I do think he had a gift. He could communicate very easily. So I think he didn't look at it as a chore. But he did take the time, which is interesting, because it did take time to sit down and write the letters.
And the papers he would write on, some good stationery, some not so good stationery, how would they come?
I'd say 3 different things. If he were writing at his desk, it would be on the University of Oklahoma letterhead. If we were writing from home, where there were many, it would be on his and my mom's letterhead. And if he were writing when he was traveling, it would be a hodgepodge of American Airlines or Eastern Airlines or some hotel stationery. There's a huge variety of letterheads.
What is the last letter?
The very last one that's in the book. It was one when I was in graduate school and I was saying goodbye to my mother and father, who were living in Washington, D.C. at the time. It was a particularly sad occasion. He wrote back and said, "When you left today, I knew exactly how you felt, and I felt precisely the same way. Any leaving of the physical presence of those we love is a shock momentarily." There is a poem, Mizpah, which states this reality well. I don't have my reference books with me, but your grandmother has it framed hanging on her bedroom wall. A line from the poem, which is its theme, says, "Only a thin veil hangs between the pathways where we are." And then he said, "This is true, for I feel you are always with me, and I hope you know how I am always with you." Again, that was a good indicator of some of the beliefs that he imparted to me.
That's a very long letter here on politics and professions.
That might be the longest, but he goes into extraordinary detail, and I think very accurate detail, about what a person has to prepare for if they're choosing to be a person that wants to enter political life. I thought it was a brilliant discourse. At that time, I was torn with my specific career, whether it would be the ministry or whether it would be a role in politics or in business, whatever. I think it's an intriguing letter, filled with just marvelous insight.
Analyzing any job, the points he believes are essential, he has that included as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote to him, I suspect, because it wasn't easy to get on the phone and call when you were in school.
Yeah, it's hard to envision. I mean, it's not been that many years, but we didn't have telephones in our room. You had to go out to a payphone, and those were usually long lines. You had to stand around. Certainly no internet. In spite of that, we probably talked on the phone, I'm guessing, probably not more than once a week, but maybe trying to once a week, maybe every other week. The telephone communication was important. I remember Dad kidding about how expensive it was, and maybe that's another reason he felt that communication through letters is important.
And then he was writing to Pat as well.
Yes, he was. Pat's mentioned a great deal in these letters in my book, which meant that there was constant communication going on between both my dad and my mom and both sons.
What kind of salary was he making at the University of Oklahoma?
I believe that in 1963, when he retired, his salary was $25,000 a year. Someone has corrected me that it might have been $32,000. I think he even says maybe $25,000 in one of the letters, but it is extraordinary to contrast the salaries today of coaches compared to what they were at that time. And, of course, I think it's because of the media, because of television, and because of all the revenue that's coming in. I never felt, and I don't think he ever felt, that we were wealthy. We lived well, but we certainly didn't enjoy great wealth.
As you had such a great role model as a father, you then were able to take that to become a father to your children.
Mm-hmm.
As you spoke to your children, must have been hearing your father in your brain talking to them through you.
Well, I hope so, and I think so, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I just think there's been a lot of research that's been done on the importance of parents. I think we all know that if you're raised in a hostile environment where literally you're being hurt, that somehow you learn that behavior. Not always, but there's a tendency to do it. I think I was very fortunate, very blessed to have had the environment that Pat and I had from both our mother and father. But I believe that his philosophy is indelibly in my head because of my watching him, observing him. Another thing that's been so enriching for me just in the last 4 weeks with this book have been the number of, not letters, but emails that I've received from people that I'm reconnecting with who recite to me the same things that I felt about these letters, how much my father meant to them personally. Probably more of them were football players, but some of them are people in other walks of life. So that's very rewarding, obviously.
And elsewhere on our website, you'll find the link to be able to purchase this book, Bud Wilkinson's Letters to His Sons.